for a message this evening I've been asked to share on the title, Am I My Brother's Keeper? Don't know what goes through your mind when you think of that. But I think as we consider this subject tonight, there's some practical lessons I trust we can glean as we think on this subject and see what the scripture has to tell us. You know, most of all, we should be thankful for this book that we have some instructions on how we are called on to live. It's where we go for direction in life. And right here in the beginning, I'd like to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 4. This is where this phrase comes out. It's in the story of Cain and Abel. They were two brothers. Who lived a long, long time ago. We know they were sons of Adam way back near the beginning of the story of humanity. In verse 2, it talks about how Abel was the keeper of the sheep and Cain was a tiller of the ground. It refers to their occupations there, I believe. And I'm going to go ahead and read from verses 3 to verse 16. It says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Here we have this story of what happened with Cain and Abel. And yes, we talk about this being the first murder. When Cain decided to do away with his brother. And then we have God coming on the scene and asking this question. And Cain raises the, asking his, where Abel is, and Cain raising the question, you know, am I my brother's keeper, or am I the one that's responsible for him? Am I his caretaker, as it were? Just going back a little bit in this chapter, we know the backdrop, the background of this story is that both of them came and brought an offering to God. And there's been some speculation or some thoughts on just what was wrong, whether it was the kind of offering, the lack of a blood offering, or whether it had more to do with the attitude of Cain's heart. But whatever the case may have been, it's very plain that God had respect for Abel's offering and not for Cain's. And this angered Cain. It doesn't exactly tell us how he knew that, but there seems to be dialogue going on between God was talking with these men. And somehow Cain knew that God did not respect his offering, and it says his countenance fell. And even before he committed this evil deed, God tells him, if you do what's well, if thou doest well, or in other words, you would say, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted. And if you don't do what's right, sin lies at the door. And we don't know how much time elapsed between verse 7 and verse 8, but we have there in verse 8 where Cain is out in the field, it seems, talking to his brother. We have Cain rising up against his brother there. And it seems, as you look at this story, rather than make the necessary changes to do what was right, he decided the answer would be to get his brother out of the way. And so he kills his brother. And we have God coming on the scene and asking, where is Abel, thy brother? And it wasn't because God didn't know. He knew exactly what had happened, but he wanted to see, I believe, what Cain's answer would be. Because as soon as Cain gives his answer, God goes on and says, what have you done? He says, the voice of thy brother's blood is crying unto me from the ground. So, and we know God knew right along what was happening. He knew the story from beginning to end. And Cain could not hide anything from God. And then in verse 11 and 12 there, we see the consequences, the judgment that God pronounced on Cain for his evil deed. There was consequences. And as you think of how Cain dealt with his brother there and the question of, am I my brother's keeper? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. We have some very enlightening commentary there on the story of Cain, as well as direction for us. I'm going to read from verses 10 to 18, I believe here. It says, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, one thing that always stands out to me as you read John's writings, they're very clear and concise. It doesn't leave a lot of room for, it's just so clear, very plain and straightforwardly spoken. And you look at this passage, he makes it very clear that the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil, it first of all lists the thing of not doing righteousness, which again, looking back at the story of Cain, I believe he was failing in that. He was not, his heart was not after God, even though we don't know a whole lot of his story by what he did and what scriptural commentary tells us. We understand he was not a child of God. But he makes it very clear that was the one, not doing righteous, and neither he that loveth not his brother. And he goes back and tells us that the commandment we have heard from the beginning, or the message from the beginning, was that we should love one another. And then it goes on to use Cain as a negative example. Not like Cain. It says he was of that wicked one. And again, it underscores the problem Cain had, that his own works were of evil and his brothers were righteous. And rather than doing what he should have and changing his works and turning toward God, instead, he took out his brother and removed him, killed him from the face of the earth. And yet, that wasn't the end of the story. Scripture tells us that Abel's blood is still speaking. And going on, looking at verse 14 there, it talks about, it sounds like it, and it is a very serious matter. It says there that we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Puts a very strong test on that. The matter of loving our brethren. So when we think of the thought, am I my brother's keeper? If we are a child of God, if we are one of God's children, then we are responsible. We do have a responsibility to one another. And that goes for sisters as well. In the brotherhood, there is to be a care one for another. I hadn't looked into that a whole lot in my studies, but then it just came to me as I was here this evening, the whole thought of the body. We know the natural analogy of the body. If you smash your finger, there's a pain that goes through the entire body. And in the church as well, we have that in Scripture that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. There is a close kinship and a feeling one for another. When one member is in pain, all the members feel that. And there also needs to be a thing of self-sacrifice as well. In verse 16 there, it talks about the love of God. And thinking again of the example Jesus gave us, he laid down his life for us. And in that same way, as we consider his example, it says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And again, that is not the natural, that is not the carnal tendency. The carnal tendency is to look out for oneself. And I think it becomes pretty clear by our actions, we show, I believe, who our Father is. There needs to be a love for one another. You know, I think sometimes in our carnal tendencies, we might sometimes be tempted to think it would be easier to just go off somewhere by ourselves, you know, and live in isolation, as it were. We think that would be the answer, actually, that's, I think, something the devil would appeal to our fallen nature and make us think that might be an answer. That's not God's intent at all. I think God knew that we need accountability and we need the social interaction of the brotherhood. And, you know, if you're cynical, perhaps at times you can think wherever there's people, there's problems. And there may be a measure of truth to that, but we need to remember the blessings far outweigh the challenges. If we are a brotherhood of believers, the blessings will outweigh the challenges that we meet along the way. Social distancing is not God's design. That's something the devil would like to use to separate people from one another. If you've ever looked at that, the devil would like to separate people, but God's design is that we would come together. And there's a verse on that. Maybe we'll go to a passage in a little bit. But as we look here at 1 John chapter 3, it also goes into some of the practical thoughts about those that have this world's good. And if you see your brother have a need, can we shut up our bowels of compassion? It says if we do that, how does the love of God dwell in our hearts if that's how we act? If there is a need, can we arise and meet that need or help do some small part to help that need? And we know that is done in many physical ways. You know, sisters make meals to bring families in need or to help out. Sometimes there's tragedy or fire or loss of some sort where there can be brotherhood help. We need to put it into action. It needs to be more than just word. It needs to be more than word, or our faith becomes a vain thing. It needs to be in deed and in truth. That means living it out in everyday life and action. And that would closely tie with what James would teach us as well. Where he talks about the thing of faith and works, says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So we need to do more than just say a good sounding speech and wish them well. It needs to go further. If there is a need there, can we rise to that need and try to help in some way? You know, that's the beauty of working together. Also had to think of another saying that's not necessarily scriptural, but you may have come across it already, that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And just along the line of the subject we're thinking of tonight, there is staying power and there is help. Doesn't Ecclesiastes say if, you know, one falls, who can help pick him up again? But if there's someone, if there's a brother and a sister to help, we're called on to lift up the feeble knees. Last Sunday in the message, the brother talked about the story there of Aaron and Hur helping support Moses' hand. You know the story there when Israel prevailed as long as Moses held the rod of God, but then his hand became weary and he could not hold it, and they helped support him. Again, that's a beautiful picture of a way that we can help. We can strengthen our brethren. And the whole thing of falling is, if a person's falling or failing in some way, others can help. If we're doing it ourselves, if we stumble and fall, we're left to our own. But there is tremendous benefit in looking out for one another. There's also the verse in Proverbs that talks about iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So the interaction that goes between the individuals in the church is a blessing, and it's what God designed. Let's go to Romans 14. There's a whole chapter here. I didn't know if I should read the whole chapter, but as you look at this chapter, it talks about various aspects similar to what we have in Corinthians one place as well, talking about the thing of eating, not offending our brother, and all of that. Some of that comes up here in Romans 14 as well. I think I'll start reading here. I may omit some verses. In verse 1, it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It goes on, verse 13 again, talks about not judging one another, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And it goes on again, as we come up to the end of this chapter, it talks about the meat, and we understand that is referring to some meat that was offered unto idols, and then it was sold in the marketplace, I believe, and there were some people that felt you should not eat that meat, and others believed that the idol was nothing, and the meat was able to be eaten to the honor and glory of God. So there was some difference of opinion on that. And there's other matters here as well. I don't believe it's talking about issues of right and wrong, of sin and things that are clearly out, but some other items where there is some room for diversity and there is some difference of belief, where in that case, I believe we are to call on to be charitable and give our brother some space or enough room. As we think of being our brother's keeper, you know, it's not just about myself. We need to look beyond that and understand the blessing and the good of the group is sometimes at stake and needs to be honored. Even if we have a personal opinion, do we know how to keep that in a quiet way without making a lot of waves or trying to convince everyone they need to agree with us on this matter? It's possible to be right and still give the wrong feeling on. I know recently in my travels, I came across some people that have been on a certain subject. They were somewhat turned off by how forceful a minister in the past would drive the point home, that it actually created a backlash and people were just not real comfortable with it. You know, that's something we need to be careful about. We don't become so dogmatic that we don't give anyone else any room. If it becomes a matter of stumbling, I believe that's over in Corinthians where Paul says if it's a matter of stumbling, he's not going to eat meat while the world stands. He was interested in not offending his brothers. And verse 7 here says, none of us live to ourselves and we don't die to ourselves either. We do have an impact. Can we extend grace to one another? I think that's part of being brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to give some room for each other and some differences. We're not called on to set our brother at naught. We're all going to answer to Christ in the end, and we need to remember that. We need to be careful how we judge our brothers, because they're not our servant. We're all servants of the Lord together. They're like verse 4 would talk about. God is able to make him stand, even if we think he's perhaps not quite on the right track or he's being weak in his understanding. Thinking of being our brother's keeper, are we truly interested in his good, and can we see beyond ourselves and along the line of Christian liberty? You know, that can be taken too far, I believe. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here spells it out rather clear. we do have liberty, and yet we're not supposed to use that liberty to serve ourselves or to any kind of occasion to the flesh, but rather to serve one another. That's what we're called on to do. Verse 15, there is a negative example talking about biting and devouring, or the thought of contentions, and we know that does not have a good end. It says you're going to be consumed, and that's not being our brother's keeper. I think that is being a stumbling block. And verse 14 there really stands out to me. It says, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, it doesn't use the word brother there, but it's interesting. You can go a little bit further, whether you're thinking of, there's a lot of different places where we can put it. We can think of our brothers and sisters according to the flesh. Now, there is a responsibility to our family members, and then there's also the brothers in the church. And then I think even neighbors can go a little bit further. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we know Jesus in his interaction there, the one time it says the man wanted to justify himself, he raised the question, well, who is my neighbor? And then we have Jesus giving the story of the Good Samaritan. How far out does that circle go? How far out are we responsible to help? Well, in Galatians 6 and verse 10, it says, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I think that's gives us a pretty good idea. There is maybe a higher responsibility as we think of the household of faith, those that are brothers and sisters in Christ, but it can go further than that. We can touch people and those that are not part of the kingdom of God, even. That's part of what God's intent is for us. And as we can love our brother, there is a tremendous testimony goes out that we love one another. And there in chapter 5, the verses I had read, I think we see there in verse 13, I mentioned that before about not using liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That is an improper use of Christian liberty. The proper use, I believe, is to, in love, serve one another. Do we love the brotherhood as we ought? We are called on, it makes me think of a minister long dead and gone who had, I just remember this thought one time he was talking about we should be interested in helping others on their journey. And again, that can go, the ripples of that can go way out, and we help. In a physical way, we can seek to help, but then there's also the spiritual is the most important. Are we giving a good example for others to follow? Are we living according to what we are professing? Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 8 yet. I want to read some verses there. It's again, this was talking some about similar to what Paul gives us in Romans 14, I believe. Obviously, he was the same one. Again, talking about Christian liberty. Verse just coming in verse 8, he says, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You know, this is some pretty strong teaching. Are we willing to go that far? Are we willing to be that careful to not offend our brother? Are we that interested in the good that we're careful in how we relate to one another? Again, it goes back to how we view our responsibility before God on the matter. Do we think it's me, it's my opinion, it's what I want? Or do we see that there is a responsibility we have to each other, that we can help each other? God designed it that we would help each other along the way. He wants us to show love to one another. And also in Galatians 6, the first two verses I'd like to read, it says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Then on down in verse 5, he also comes back on the other side of the coin, as it were, and says, For every man shall bear his own burden. But tonight we're thinking more of being our brother's keeper, of being a help to him. And in verse 1 there, it talks about even those that are taken in a fault. The call in the church is that those that are spiritual would give some help there. And in the spirit of meekness. Elsewhere, it would talk about the thought that, you know, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If we come in like we have all the answers and you're the one that needs the help, it will not go over very well. You know, we need to remember there needs to be a proper give and take, and humility is essential if we are going to be able to help each other. If we are going to have a proper care for one another. And bearing one another's burdens is fulfilling the law of Christ, it tells us there. We're called on to help lift that burden. And you need to remember, there's two sides to that. There's the giving and the receiving. And sometimes it may be one brother that needs help, and then the next time it's another one. So there can be a mutual sharing together as we... There needs to be a mutual sharing that is coming and going both ways. You know, and as we look at the scripture tonight on this subject, I think it makes it abundantly clear the call to love each other and the call to be there to help one another. I think we all have the knowledge. We have the knowledge of what God calls us to. I guess the question is, how well are we seeing the needs? Are we there reaching out and trying to help? Or are we so busy we don't have time to do that? Well, I trust we are making an honest effort. The challenge, perhaps, that is sometimes greater than understanding it is seeing it and taking the time and being willing to take the time to help one another. I think that's certainly part of God's plan, the way He designed it. And If we are his children, we will seek to live that out in daily word and action. Not just in word, but in action is what proves that our faith is genuine. That's how we can be our brother's keeper. It says, what I have. Do you want a kneeling prayer yet? Let's kneel for prayer here again.